Hey, welcome everyone to our next video cast. And we're very, very excited today to have with us to chat to us about driving change and transformation, Richard Bates. So Richard is an old friend of mine back in Hong Kong. And just a little bit about Richard. He is the president and CEO of Manulife Philippines. He's currently an executive director of Manulife Philippines, Manulife Financial Plans, Inc., Manulife China Bank Life Assurance Corp, and Manulife Asset Management Trust Corp. He first served as a director of these companies in 2019. Prior to joining Manulife, Richard served as the CEO of AIA Cambodia Insurance. He likewise held other roles within AIA over maybe 10 years, including Chief Representative, Regional Director, Group Head, Corporate Transactions. Richard also worked with KPMG in Hong Kong before working for AIA, and that's where I met Richard. Richard graduated from University of Portsmouth in England with a degree in Business Administration and Management. So welcome, Richard.
Thank you very much, Ewan. It's absolutely great to be here and really good to see you again. It's been a very long time.
It's kind of like bizarre and weird, but amazing at the same time, isn't it?
Yes, a good description.
So for those of you listening to this video cast, so Richard and I worked together in Hong Kong, had a really good time. And really great to see that Richard's really, gone on to do some amazing work as a senior leader to drive a lot of the change and transformation. And so we're really interested to find out from Richard, his journey and the work that he's doing with Manulife around driving a lot of those huge changes, especially given, the things that Manulife's trying to drive, as well as, what COVID brings to the table. And so, Richard, help us to understand, I've read a lot about the work that you're doing at Manulife. From a senior leader perspective, tell us about the transformation you've been driving. How's the journey going so far, and what's your sense of how that's really doing?
I think if we start on the larger scale, start at the kind of the global level. There's absolutely since Roy Gori moved in as the global CEO, there's been a very clear vision and mission for the organization, and a very clear view on the culture we want to build in the organization, the values that we stand for. That's been, and that actually from the top level has come all the way down through the organization into our Asian operations down here into the Philippines. Part of that is very much about driving technology transformation, but at the same time, while keeping customers at the center and customers in the core. And that customer centricity, certainly in our industry, is absolutely critical. Matt, makes a difference. So from a transformation perspective, that journey and that roadmap was already started a few years ago. So when I came to Manulife Philippines about a year ago, we had already started our technology transformation journey under the previous CEO, who's now leading our Indonesia business. And he did a great job of bringing in and starting that journey. And it's not always easy. Not always easy to start a journey of technology transformation, but also a cultural transformation that goes along with it, because the two are incredibly closely intertwined. But so far, I'm really pleased with what we're seeing. We are, last year we won awards for the most tech-leading insurance company here in the Philippines. We've done a lot of work around how we build break down different parts of our customer journey, understand their pain and their friction points, and make sure that we're using technology to try and ease that without as best trying to take away the human element. Because that's, in my mind, and we can talk about that later, but in my mind, that's one of the key parts is when you bring in a new piece of technology, if you forget about the people in the process and just go after the new shiny tool, then the problem is the transformation becomes ineffective. Because the buy-in isn't there, the way that people work together isn't there. And so that's been quite critical. But so far, been a huge success. Still a long way to go, but really pleased with what we've done so far, certainly in the business over the last 2 to 3 years here in the Philippines.
Yeah, sounds like quite a feat, isn't it? So Richard, just focusing on that cultural change element, Yes. Maybe talk to us about, you know, what are some of those core things? Like you, I think you mentioned, you know, that customer focus, right? Having the customer at the center of employees. So what are some of those core, I guess, cultures or behaviors that you're trying to drive? And what were some of the things, like, maybe talk to us about some of the tactics that you use to really drive those behaviors and cultures?
Okay. I mean, I think the culture has to come first. And if you're not able to adjust that, then we really struggle with anything that we do. And the challenge, though, it can take you 6, maybe 12 months, but taking you a short period of time to bring in a new piece of technology. To change a culture, especially a culture, when we are in the, as you mentioned, there are a number of entities here in the Philippines. In the actual life business, we're around 600 people in the life business. We have distribution people with our bank partner, which you mentioned, and that's around 300 or so. We have about 12,500 agents. So the life company alone is already getting up to about 13,000 to 14,000. Here in the Philippines, we also have our shared services, which is run by an industry veteran, Mark Wolfrey. So it's a great job, and he's going through his transformation. So all of these parts of the business are doing their transformation. So here in the Philippines, I think what we find, you can introduce a new piece of technology and it will change relatively, you can adopt it relatively quickly. The culture is the part that takes time. And the culture can take a year, 2 years, and it depends on how deep you want to go. And that, it takes really to be able to have people live and walk and talk the same language. Now, most companies, we're quite realistic. When we look at organizations, and you and I have worked in a couple of organizations over our careers, we know that more often than not, you can write things down on a wall and you can write these catchphrases and people will buy into them. That's not really the point. The point is actually living it. And it's not the words. It's actually not sitting there repeating these over and again. So it is actually behaving them and living them. So we have a number of them here in Manulife, starting with things like obsess about the customer, going to think big, get it done together. So there are a number of these core values that we have. The key has to be how we actually use them. And frankly, change, we know this and it's heard it many times before, starts at the top. It starts right from me. It starts with my ex-com, goes from my ex-com down to the leadership team down into their teams. And if we're not talking it, if we're not living those values and behaviors and sharing that, then the rest of the team, they're going to see it and they're not going to follow. And so, for example, if there are two ex-com members who are not getting it done together, so to speak, their teams will use that as an excuse very quickly to turn around and go, well, I might just wait a little bit until these guys, you know, get onto the same page. It's important right from the top, right from the ex-com. So our ex-com have a very clear culture catchphrase that we use, which is challenge and align with the end in mind. And we use it very much. We will challenge each other. It's an open environment. We challenge, but we challenge and we walk out of there aligned with the goal. And the goal is always around the customer, around improving the experience. So in our business, it's very simple. Okay, three parties must win in this relationship. We have our customers, we have our distribution, whether agents or bank partners, and we have the company. Those three parties must win. If it's only the distribution and the company, then, and if the customer doesn't win, you don't build a sustainable business. If it is only the customer and the company that's winning, then the distribution, really, they'll stop promoting, they'll stop supporting what we need to do. And likewise, if it's over here, then the company will eventually run out of money and blow up if it is only these two sides. All three parties absolutely have to win. And this is where the culture must come together to make sure that those all transformation helps and succeeds in those three areas.
That's fantastic. I love the whole concept around really viewing that as a system, right? Because, you know, not just yourselves, but your partners and your customers, and how that really influences the whole equation. And love the whole focus on role modeling. You know, you guys really role modeling the right behaviors and really cascading that. how do you understand and see how that's progressing? Because I guess, you know, in large companies, there's a lot of different layers. How do you get a sense that, you know, certain parts of, you know, your organization is doing better than the others because they're a lot more aggressive in challenging themselves on the behaviors? How do you get a sense of what's happening?
You know, it starts by building a trust with your own team. And the trust means that people's willingness to share where things are working and where things aren't. Coming a year on in the ground, that was probably the first thing I focused on. Very realistically, I did want, obviously, with that, your first 100 days, understand the business, understand the challenges, understand the strategy, the execution plan. But there was a lot of trust building, there was a lot of work, and a lot of, because I realized that we are on that transformation journey, although we had started, to be able to get the transformation to come down through the organization, that's what takes time, and it takes trust. I think once we had got that, and that was pretty quick. I mean, I've got a really strong team, very pleased with them, adopted new ideas very quickly, fixing things together, working things. I will actually say that the current situation that we're under with COVID-19 and the pandemic we're facing here, we've been under lockdown in the Philippines since 17th of March. So we are now pushing up to 5 months of almost full citywide lockdown with some movement, but very limited. That has probably accelerated some of our cultural build because it's forced us to find solutions as quick as possible, forced us to accelerate the fact that we have to do this for the good of the customer, the good of our distribution, and the good of the company. But we'd already started that journey. I would say the big change we've done over time is to try and simplify the message and try and simplify how we do this. So now, globally, and this it started with a number of kind of issues and challenges that we had made and discussions that we had at the regional level. And we decided we wanted to simplify what we stood for, what our identity was. And it was simplified to a very simple phrase of everyday better. And now, okay, here we go. I talked about, should we throw out corporate catchphrases? And I mentioned that earlier. Yeah, you can do it. Nike tick, just do it. We can do all of those. But that's not point. The point is not the words. The point is what you do with them. And in the organization, what we've done with it is been starting and has started to be really powerful. So the way that we've used that is just simplifying how we talk to each other. And when you talk about this, you can finish a meeting and people are, you know, a little bit cheekily at first, but then they realize that actually become quite natural. They're turning around and saying, okay, is that helped it? Are we walking out of here? Have we solved this problem? And then someone will jump in there and go, so, you know, has that been every day better? And we are throwing it out there. We are using it. We are using that phrase. And it starts off a little bit coy at first, and then it starts off to realize, actually, this actually works quite well for us. Now, different corporates, and you know the corporate environments, they have different phrases, etc. But that's, again, that's besides the point. The point is, it's about bonding people to a common identity, and that's the culture shift that you need. So that when you are in times of trouble, that you really have that common hole that you hold on to in a typhoon, in a cyclone, that everybody has a common identity that they offer. And this is the everyday better. And so it took, we didn't have that straight away. It was a number of different phrases we were using, a number of different things, but now we have a very simple one that just kind of bonds and binds us together. It honestly has accelerated a lot of what we do, accelerated the cultural journey, accelerated elements of our transformation, but honestly also accelerated listening to where the pain points are within the organization. Because it's very easy to pretend they don't exist. And I'm going to go back to your question of how do you really listen to what's going on in the different parts? It does take time. But if you have a common goal and a common identity, then that helps you weed out where those challenges are. At least it's helped us. And we are really finding that. We're finding it from not just the company, but from our distribution team who really are, you know, they're living it on the ground. There are many people there on variable incomes. And it's our responsibility to help them make sure that they have a livelihood. It's our responsibility to make sure that the customers still hold their policies and the customers are looked after as they go through their own personal challenges. And that simplification of what we stand for and that simplification of how we do things every day, it really, really does make a difference. And in the last 1 or 2 months, as we started rolling this out, it's honestly, it's accelerated in my mind that cultural journey. It's been probably a bit more powerful than I would have expected. I wasn't expecting it to really have such a strong impact, but it has for us here in the Philippines, without doubt.
Great. Yeah, I love the concept that, you know, when you were talking about the culture being kind of the underpinning, the foundation of the company, so that during times like COVID and other challenge time, it really kind of shows through and it determines your behavior, right? So then if you have really solid foundations and you've really been voting on that, then that's going to carry you through towards the objectives you're trying to head towards, right? That's really great. I think that it's so true because I think often, you know, a lot of our change practitioners that are listening to this video cast, they'll know that often the projects they're working on, they'll see that in a changed environment, what's underpinning the company from a cultural perspective really bubbles up during change. And you really see what are some of those core behaviors that are actually part of the value of the company. So that's really, really true. So really great that you, you know, you're highlighting that. So Rachel, you talked about how, you know, it's really gone a long way in terms of the transformation you've been driving. What's been some of the hardest thing for you personally to really drive this through?
Apart from kids in homeschooling, I dare not say that. I think my darling wife has done taking the brunt of that fantastically. So I'm going to stay clear of that. No, in all seriousness, the hardest thing in terms of our kind of what we've gone through is being able to properly hear and represent all of the different voices that we have in the organization. It's not one size fits all. It really isn't. I'm not going to sit here and complain because holidays got canceled. I have to wear a mask going to the supermarket. There's no point sitting there complaining about those things. There are many people in a far, far stronger hardship. Our customers, many of them whose businesses may not be able to operate. Many of the customers who really struggle, especially here in the Philippines, talk about homeschooling. They don't even have the digital devices to be able to give their kids homeschooling. So for some of these things, to be able to make sure that we are able to meet with all the variety of needs, hear the different voices as we go through that journey, and while keeping the company on track to be able to deliver what it stands for, its values, its goals, its promises, and also the transformation at the same time. That probably bringing together, but it, in my mind, it starts with the people and starts with being able to hear as many of the voices as possible, the challenges they're facing, and being able to, as much as possible, reflect those challenges and respond to them. I think I've lent a lot on a fantastic team, and I've been really fortunate to have that. Really strong team who had been together before I arrived, who knew the market, knew the people, knew the challenges, and it was great for me to have that straight away. And so, as you know, they have been able to advise me, they've been able to steer me. We stand on the shoulders of giants. The other thing that I think has been really strong, certainly in Manulife, is that we've been able to build on each other. So when we had the outbreak in China, first of all, I could speak to our GM in China and say, hey, it looks like it's about to start here. What are you doing there? They can share their BCP plan. They can say what worked. We've been able to share as an organization between each other to problem solve and deal with these things. And that's been really valuable. I would say the one thing that has kind of kept me through this, and this goes back a long, long time ago, And this is a really simplified kind of leadership ideal, for want of a better phrase. And, you know, and this is the simple phrase of courage, clarity, humanity. Everybody has their own. You know, this goes back to it. This one for me worked for me. It's worked really simply. It's got to have the courage. It starts with the courage to make difficult decisions, the courage to tell people when things are difficult, that they're not working the way you want them to and where you expect to be, the courage to admit that you did something wrong and you made a mistake, you made a bad call, the courage to actually call someone up who you know is having a hard time and you know they're just gonna blast you in the ear because they've got a lot of problems and it's your job to hear them. It's the courage to face that. And it's not always easy when you've had a bad day or you've had a bad week, but that's part of the job. And there's responsibility. The clarity, the team got to know where they're going. They've got to know what we're standing for. And this is where the value part that I talked about, every day better. But they've got to know what are we focused on. When we moved into a community quarantine, the first thing was got to be 100% work from home straight away, which we made. We did day one. We had all the work we had done in our digital transformation in the past allowed us to be day one, 100% work from home. The company had no problem. Now, was it working perfectly? Oh, kid ourselves. We still have things to smooth and improve. That's our responsibility. But the clarity is, that's the focus. Second thing, we've got to make sure that our customers are taken care of. We continue to look after them while our agents and our distribution have the tools to be able to continue to do those business. That's a very clear direction the team needed to have. And then finally, as we go through this, continuing to make sure that as this extends and goes further than the original 2 to 3 months may have been projected into 5 months and maybe even longer, that both our distribution and our customers have the support from us as a company to go through that journey. That's the clarity. And then it goes without saying, humanity. That humanity, the care, are we showing it? Are we showing it in a way and in a language that people need to hear? And this is where my team are really fantastic at guiding me. You know, I'm not Filipino, you know, I'm English, born and raised in Hong Kong, lived in Asia my whole life. I don't pretend to ever be anything that I'm not, but I need to know from my team, and my team are guiding me, saying, yeah, when you approach that conversation, maybe tweak that language a little bit. And I will ask for that feedback, what's working, what isn't. And this is what I need from them. Because the ability to show care and show humanity can be, you have to be culturally sensitive. You have to adjust yourself as you go through that. I think we all face that. So to me, these are the challenges I've been facing. What gets me through it is something that I was taught many years ago. It's super simple. It works for me. Everyone's got their own, usually at a leadership level. This is the one that works for me, the courage, clarity, humanity. And that's really what I try and continue to focus on. I'll be careful, Ewan. You and I were management consultants back in our energy days. You know, if I'm not putting it into a 2x2 matrix, I'm taking a group of threes. Sorry about that.
Everything goes into a matrix, doesn't it?
If you're not careful, yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's really true, right? Because I think in these times, you know, we're all humans, we all have emotions. What we go through is almost like a bond that really drives us together. And the ability for our people to be able to take care of that with their customers, with their partners and each other is really critical. And it really is a part of that, you know, that culture as well. So really great to see, you know, the great work that you've been leading there. So I know like you guys have been driving a lot of digital transformation, you've got the COVID changes, you've got the cultural elements, there's other stuff. So amongst all of these multiple changes, how do you really balance all of that as for change, we'll call it the portfolio of initiatives. So how do you balance that whole portfolio to ensure that you're getting the cut through amongst all these multiple things going on?
Yeah. You know, this maybe harkens back to our days, but it, to me, it's about breaking down a big problem into its component parts and having a very clear plan, a disciplined plan of execution. So we, you know, at the company level, have what we call the enterprise execution plan. That is every single initiative that is running through the organization, what needs to be done, by who, by when, and literally running 365 days. Now, have we had to adjust that? Have we had to make changes to that? Yes, as we've gone through this. And that's when we faced, so when we started the year, we had our original plan of, you know, part of it was transformation, part of it was ongoing BAU, part of it was cultural. There was a combination of factors that we needed to, that we had already planned. We already identified at the beginning of the year what our must wins are for 2020. And frankly, they haven't changed. They are still there as we see as an organization. That's the clarity part that I talk about. So everybody knows that, yes, we have tons of things going on in the business, you know, but there are a core portions of must wins for the company. Must wins to get to where we want to be at the end of the year, which is a journey for where we want to be in 3 and 5 years. So that's a very clear roadmap that we have, and we are, that hasn't changed. What has changed is possibly the timing of some of the items and the issues. So when we started facing what we were looking at, we had to do some very quick adjustments because, you know, the life insurance industry is very much a face-to-face type of industry. I don't see that going away anytime soon. I do see digital as an augmentation of that. I do see it, so I don't, you know, rather than artificial intelligence, I'd rather call it augmented intelligence. There is a way that we are augmenting at this stage. In the future, definitely in the future, we might move to be artificial, but right now it's an augmented intelligence that we're seeing. And the ability to bring these two together, that's where our transformation journey is trying to take us. So you are as an enabler to delivering that. What we've had to do is pivot very quickly on being able to allow everyone to work from home. So we're as an industry, in a privileged position that we have a solution for people, for customers that they could want. You know, they have once in their life, and we have a solution: health, critical illness protection, health protection, life protection. These are things that we have that are available to solutions. They have that desire, that demand for it. The second thing is we have now, and we did very quickly, within about a week after lockdown, we had very quickly a solution to deliver that. And so we are now in a fortunate position that not only can we deliver, that not only can we work and we have something that is in demand, but we also have a model that allows us to deliver that. And that can sometimes be a problem for a number of businesses. So we can work 100% from home, both us, our customers, and our agents. So all three parties can be 100% home. Will it be sustainable? Is it ideal? You lose a bit of the empathy that you create in the face-to-face environment. You lose a little bit of that, but you are able to build it in other ways, and we can find other ways to do that. So in terms of the kind of the plan and the breakdown and what we had in the transformation, we had to pivot and adjust some of that for sure as we went into our business, as we went into lockdown, but the core components of what we're doing haven't changed. They have stayed the same, and it stays with a clear execution plan. What we have had to maybe adjust or defer, not on hold, but potentially defer because we needed to focus on something more immediate and more pressing, but we knew where in the plan that was going to be, and we just shunted it out a little bit so that we can then get back to it. So we know we have our goals for the year. We know what our immediate, our medium, and our long-term goals are. The long-term ones don't change. They're the things that are going to be able to put us instead in 3 to 5 years' time. We've got to build today. We have to, as an organization, that digital journey. And we started building. So maybe I'll say a little bit about what we have been doing in our journey on the digital side. And so when we look at the digital journey for us as an organization, it started with the customer journey. As we look at the kind of the meet and buy part, then there is then you go to the refine, the manage and refine, your customer policy is in the system. You then go to the claims and the customer servicing in the claims. Then you go into the basically fulfilling the circle that goes back into that journey again. And it's not always about new customers, it's about servicing existing customers as their life needs changes and being able to provide them with additional services. This is the critical part of looping it back into that journey. And so where we've worked, basically mapped out the entire customer journey. And then we looked at all the component parts on what we were doing in a manual process with back-end systems to be able to bring in technologies that augment that system, that basically allow us to allow us to be able to provide that service quicker, easier, smoother. And this goes to the change management we talked about right at the beginning. Introducing that part, and I would say the biggest challenge we found along that journey is when people are very familiar with a more traditional journey, whether it's paper-based, whether it's face-to-face, it's changing that mindset. So we talked quite a lot about COVID. Well, COVID, it's a hot topic. It's accelerating a number of areas, and it's accelerated both the adoption, both the changes that we needed to make, but the adoption of those changes. So the adoption of having to use technologies in our distribution force has been accelerated where they were traditionally used to meeting people face-to-face. And that has accelerated the need for the adoption of our, let's say, for example, our point of sales processes. It's accelerated the adoption of, we have e-contracts, we provide e-claims, and we have customer portals, there's customer websites where people go online, they check. All of this that was introduced over the last 6 to 12 months, the adoption of that has been accelerated during this process. But it was the investment that we were able to make because we knew we would eventually get to that. Frankly, we thought we would get to that a little later, but thankfully we've been able to have the readiness to be able to do that. So being able to deliver contracts by email to our customers straight away after they buy it, without having to wait for it to be printed and mailed and delivered, having it there straight away has been, has really been welcomed by customers and has been what they need to have. At the same time, when they have an issue, they don't want to step out of their house, they need a claim, they need to file a claim. That e-claim system that we have in place allows them to do that without having to leave their front door. And that process that we are doing, which we invested in before, is now really paying dividends now. So there are so many different component parts to what we're doing, but that's really been a lot of the focus and direction along that customer journey.
Wow, that's fantastic. I love the fact that, with all the right investments you've made, it's really carried through. Thanks to COVID, it's actually speeded up. And I love how, from an embedment perspective, yes, COVID presents challenges, but actually there's a lot of benefits, as you've called out as well. So it's really great to hear that. And I think it's fantastic to see organizations leverage COVID to drive change, as opposed to shy away from, driving a lot of those critical changes that's needed. So Richard, going forward, post-COVID, later this year, next year, what are you seeing on the horizon when it comes to, driving the rest of those transformation that you have in your plan?
I think the voice of the customer is now louder than it's ever been. There's no doubt about that. And this current situation has rightfully amplified that. It's something that we identified years ago, something we started working on. It's an ongoing journey. And as you move from the generations of leading the company, you and I, we're Gen X, we're leading a certain kind of generation, the millennial, are in Navaport. Then we've got the Gen Z starting to come into that, come into the workforce, and they're starting to bring in that generational development where the voice of the customer, the expectation of the customer, the expectation of how a corporate responds to that customer basis is really important. And if you don't spend the time to listen to that, and you don't spend the time to adjust your business, and you assume that, okay, you know what? It's, this is the next generation. You've got maybe the current generation who are often leading companies and leading large corporates, and they say, well, I think my kids use apps, so let's build an app. It's like, well, is that really what the next generation want? Because it might not be. They just want their voice heard. And how do they want their voice heard? And it might not be that way. And as I said earlier, everybody's different. And everyone's voice has to be heard differently. Some do want to just chat on a chatbot. Some want to have a phone call with a customer service. Some want to call our agent direct. Some want to send me a letter directly as well. And so that everybody has a very different way of wanting to have their voice heard. And to me, as we go forward, the ability for a corporate to respond as flexibly to the different customer needs and the different customer desires while staying on track to what they stand for as an organization and what they are offering customers, okay, that is important, then that I think is going to be the differentiator as we go forward. And to me, as we come out of this, what to me is really highlighted or amplified is that customer voice, and recognizing that listening to that customer voice more than ever, and being able to adjust your organization through that journey, and then not taking it for granted, not you should anyway, but being able to pivot and adjust that later on, that to me is one of the massive learnings that I think we've had of this, just accelerating that journey that we really had already started.
I really love the whole focus that you have when it comes to, you know, just the customer and really driving that through within all the various initiatives, pre-COVID, during COVID, post-COVID, leveraging some of the challenges to speed up some of the embedment, continuing to drive it through within the new setting that COVID provides. I think it's really, you know, a really great lesson for other companies to learn from and to leverage from. And no doubt, you know, the journey, the transformation journey will continue, but it sounds like there's a lot of really great work. And thanks so much, Richard, for sharing with us, you know, a lot of your valuable insights. And I love the passion that you're talking about when it comes to driving a lot of those through within, you know, Manulife. And yeah, look forward to hearing more about all the amazing work that you're doing over there.
Ewan, thank you very much. It's again, absolute pleasure. Really good to chat, really good to kind of discuss what we're doing. But, you know, as the phrase is right now, stay healthy, stay safe, look after yourself, and look forward to catching up soon.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Richard. Appreciate it.
Take care, man.